Okay, let's get started. I'm going to kind of update on what I've been doing a little bit, and then I'm going to do two or three verses of Scripture in Acts 15. But I got a question from some down there at the conference, and the gentleman told me that he'd been listening to my studies on Wednesday night, and he asked me how big the list was I had of people that Paul had met. And I said, well, I got about 16, 18, or 19, somewhere in that area. And so I'm going to kind of go back over this for those that might have not been involved when I got started with this thing about looking back at Paul after his conversion as to who he met and what was going on. So stick with me for a little bit. And so I said this, after completing Acts 14, let or allow us to return back to Paul's conversion time to the year 37 A.D. and realize the time lapse to the end of Acts 14, or actually to Acts 15:1. And when I got involved in it, I made Acts 15:1-3. And this was mid-Acts, and this was in A.D. 47. And it says, and this some 10 years ending in Antioch at the end of the 2.5 years stay there at Antioch after they had backtracked themselves, after they got down or got over to as far as Derbe, and Paul healed a man. And the man had never walked. He never had the ability to get up on his feet or do anything. He was impotent in his feet. And the people there saw what had happened. And it tore some of them up because they evidently had some kind of temple there, and they had been taught by those that came to the island. I'm sure it was an island, one of the British Isles, they call them. And they thought Paul and Barnabas was little gods. You know, not the capital G-O-D gods you find in, generally in Scripture, but little gods. And evidently, there was two of them that showed up, and they had some powers. Now, I don't know where they got their powers from, but it could have been satanic power, or it could not have been. I don't really know. So we go back to this, and we think, and I understand that this timeline picks up there in A.D. 51, which was some 14 years after Paul's conversion. And this involved 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I said the next events are 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, given or written about A.D. 52 or 53, and is recorded on the TFT websites, and it's been taught by my son, Ronnie McCurry, and he's the one that's over truth for the day here. So I went back over that to look and see what we come up with there. But again, allow me to remind you of my accounting that up to this time, we had recorded 19 names that Paul had met or had some dealing with. And this does not include words like multitudes or gatherings or companies and those of other cities or certain ones or Gentiles or groups, associations, or brethren, and so on and so forth. Now, these people, I don't have their names, and I don't have no way of getting their names. I might grab one or two out of those, some of those names from time to time, but that, I don't have. But I wanted you to see what the situation is here, because Scripture doesn't deal with too many people other than the ones that God has called to be in service for Him in some instance that the name is given. And so they will be others that Paul mentioned, and others that will be mentioned toward the end of some of these books that we're going to kind of go through and get. And the numbers will go from 19 up, quite a few. But up to this time, and I haven't been in this very long, this was a pretty good number. And also this, here in Thessalonians, we leave off the name that started or come with Paul on his journey. But he and Barnabas was called to take this journey. But Barnabas invited one of his kinfolk. Now, I don't know if it was a nephew or
I think it did say a sister's son.
Was it? Okay, it could have been a nephew, but I said it was John Mark was who it was, and it was Barnabas's relative, and replaced him in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts with a young man named Timotheus, or Timothy, a convert of Paul's first trip. So there they picked up one to take John Mark's place because he evidently got a boat ride back to Jerusalem. And so he left Paul and Barnabas and whoever else was with him. I don't know, but anyway, I did know him because he was in there by name. I also made a point of mentioning in this, the medical words or terms in Acts 13, chapter 13 and 14, gives us the understanding that Dr. Luke, or Luke's gospel in the book of Acts, was written by Luke, a physician or a doctor. And so this gives us the understanding that Luke must have been with him there, but not mentioned by name. When you start reading Acts, you find medical terms in there that wouldn't necessarily be in there because there weren't many doctors in those days. And so it was someone that they could trust to give him information. The new name added, he wasn't mentioned by name, but in Thessalonians, the new name added here is Silvanus or Silas. And so we're talking here now about Ronnie going to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and picking up a study there, and it's ongoing from now, from the 12th day of June 2024, and it's still ongoing, but I'm sure some of it's already been posted on Truth for Today. And it said in the notes, also adds Titus in the preface. And I understand in other prefaces in the Companion Bible that there's a lot of good information there, that if you go and do a study in the King James Version, that the Companion Bible is a good Bible to get involved in for study Bible and for lots of notes that they've got in there. And to realize that sometimes you pick up stuff you wouldn't ordinarily know had you not had these notes. It's just like Saul of Tarsus. And Saul's name was changed to Paul. Now, how many of you know where that change is? And how many of you know where to find it? And how many of you know why it went from Saul to Paul? Well, if I didn't tell you then, I'll tell you now. Because that's what teachers do. In the 10th chapter,
we were going to stop paying you if we couldn't get an answer.
In the 10th chapter, 11th chapter of the book of Acts, it talks about Timothy. Might be the 12th chapter. But anyway, it's talked about Saul of Tarsus to begin with, and that was what his name was when he was struck down on the Damascus Road. And Saul was named Saul by his father because his father was a Gentile. And so Saul is a Gentile name. It's not a Hebrew name. But he was raised by his mother and his grandmother. And they were Hebrews or Jews. And so when he was born, they named him Saul, Paul. But he was called Saul until he was chosen by God, and then his Hebrew name became important for them to see and understand. And so he went from Saul to being Paul. And that's how he got his names. His daddy named him one thing for him, and his mother and his grandmother named him the other name for them.
Alan also had a real good study Sunday when you were sick, when you wasn't there. I got a recording of it, but he explained how Paul ended up being a Roman citizen.
Yeah, because of his dad.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Where he was born in Cilicia.
Yeah. Well, they asked him, though. They asked him, did you buy this?
He said, I was freeborn.
Yeah. But he told him he was freeborn.
And so. Alan kind of expounded on how that could happen. It's pretty interesting.
Okay.
Very good study.
Well, since I wasn't there on Sunday, I was sick. So
yeah.
I didn't know that. So, you know. Here we are, so I'm rehashing something that I wasn't there for. Okay. And also, in Acts 16, which we haven't got to yet, talking about Luke, when we talk about that Paul had brought Luke along in his Gospels, And also to Acts 16, where he, Luke, says we in 16:3.
Yep.
Okay, so from then on to the end of 2 Timothy, Luke has always been with them in their group. And I also put, by the way, John Mark, who left the group on the first trip, Paul asked Timothy in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy to bring with him to Paul in 2 Timothy 4:11 as one who is still profitable for the ministry. So John Mark wasn't forgotten. And Paul always remembered him. And Paul, when he was asking or telling him where some of these people had went, and he knew where some of them was and some of them he didn't know, but he said, Timothy, when you come, you bring the cloak, you bring the parchments, and you bring John Mark with you. And the lawyer, whoever Paul wanted to see.
Yeah.
Because he knew his life was about done, and he needed to get his things straightened out. Okay? So, the need is evidently ongoing, and this is what I wrote in my notes, because the ongoing work that Timothy was being given by Paul to do, he needed everybody that he could get on board to do it, because we're sitting here some almost 2,000 years later talking about and understanding all about this. So that's where we got to. So we didn't get to Acts 15:1, but Acts 15:1 had been added on to the end of chapter 14, because the very first word of that is the word "and." And so when a verse of scripture in the English starts with "and," you know there's
something
behind it, probably something before, after, before and after. Okay? And so let's go back to Acts 15. Turn with me to Acts 15:1, and I got about three or four verses here, and all. It just says 15:1, but I felt that you really couldn't stop there. So the first five verses out of the whole part of that chapter was 41 verses that it makes up going on. But I wanted to read at least three of them for you, and we'll go over them. Acts 15:1. Out of the King James Version, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." So this was when Paul went to Derbe, and when he was talking to those guys down there that had the temple down there in Derbe, and they seen what Paul and Barnabas could do with healing, and they said, "Oh, the gods have come down to us again. Said, we want to, we want you to come out, and we're gonna do service to you, and we're gonna sacrifice to you." And they said, "No, we ain't going to do that." And so they called one of them Mercury. They called Paul Mercurius. And I believe they called the other
Jupiter.
Huh?
Called the other one Jupiter.
Jupiter and yeah. Mercurius. Okay.
Mercurius.
That Barnabas was was Jupiter. He was the one, I don't know how they was looking at him and using him in that scenario there, but Paul was the one doing the most of the work, so they call him Mercurius, okay, in that situation. Okay, and it said am. Yeah, the very first word in chapter 15 is and, that means unfinished business. There has been business, and there's going to be business. Okay, certain men. That's the next two words. A certain man in the Greek is the little word tis, T-I-S. And and there is no indication there for a name. That's just like ethnos or you know, whatever other Greek words they were for people or for men. But certain men, tis, I can't get a name for that. Just kiss. Okay. Which came down, it says, from Judea. So they were going back from, basically from north back south, back down toward Gaza. And it said, and taught the brethren. So these men I don't know where they had left Paul and Barnabas there for the 2.5 years, the long time of verse 28 of 14. And it said, and they there abode a long time with the disciples. And so Paul had some of the disciples with him there. And then after the 2.5 years, sometime in that situation, I don't know if certain men here was the ones that left from Antioch, from where they were, because they went back. They went from Derbe back through Lystra and Antioch because Paul was with them, and Paul had been stoned to death in Derbe.
There never seemed to really be any shortage of people that wanted to kill him.
No, and some
about these, anywhere
and
went.
Some of these people came from Antioch down there and said, do away with him, for these two guys.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything to Barnabas, according to Scripture. But they did to Paul, and normally, and they slew him by the Jewish law. And guess what? When you get a man down after you started stoning him and you get him down, the head is the target.
Crush their head.
And so Paul's head got crushed. Now, I don't know how well the Lord fixed it back. But I do know this. They turned around and made a special trip to go back the way they come. For two or three cities, they left Derbe and went back to two other cities, back to Antioch. And I think this is the reason for this, in my view, was this. If not bad flesh or sores from the stoning, it at least had scars. And I took it as this, that if you were born a Hebrew child and a male child, on the eighth day you were taken to the high priest. And the high priest sized you and held you up before God and offered you to the Lord as being a Hebrew child, being a member of Abraham's blood. Part of Abraham's blood. And so when Paul went back there, I don't know where he'd been circumcised or not. I think and he took a vow, and you had to be circumcised to take a Jewish vow.
You would never have been a Pharisee without circumcision.
Yeah. Okay, so That takes care of that. I'm kind of remembering back some of this stuff. And so I think he had the signs of circumcision under his clothing. But that's something that a man didn't go around showing, because that was something between he and God, that every time that he had to use himself to go to the bathroom, he was reminded of who he was because of circumcision. And I think Paul now bore the scars of circumcision by stoning to death. And more times maybe than one, because he says in some other places, he goes through the list of stuff that he had
thrice done. Thrice was I stoned, he said, three times.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd been through it.
So this one, this might have been his first rodeo, but it wasn't, sure wasn't his last.
His last.
And so just think about it. To get up that night, stoned you and left you laying there in the afternoon, and the disciples kind of gathered around, I'm sure they were praying for it. And he got up. He spent the night, come back into town, come through town. And I'm sure that was a show that these people looked at, and he was standing up. This is the same thing he done to the impotent man at the gate when he went into Derby. Here was a man that never stood, never walked. But when Paul said, rise up, stand up and walk, he stood up and walked. Because God had given him the understanding that he could fight it before, evidently. He couldn't do it. And so guess what that made them people think? We got somebody in our midst here that we can't kill. Gee.
Why won't you just die?
Yeah. No, he said, well, that might have increased the understanding that he might have been a bigger God than they thought he was.
Well, you got to figure, with all the signs and miracles and wonders that they were doing for everybody, you got to wonder about just the lack of believing anything that a group of people would have to think that they can kill this guy and him stay dead.
Yeah.
I mean, if he raised the dead somebody else, I mean, you know God's going to probably stand him right back up. Yeah. I don't know what would make them think they could kill him to start with.
Yeah. Well, that was there. I think that was the people from Antioch coming down there and egging it on.
Right.
Because, see, they run them off. They cast the dust off their feet when they left Antioch to go there. And they were going by the words of the Holy Spirit. And so that was the thing there, okay? Now, where did we get to? Oh.
15:1.
It said, which came down from Antioch. And,
from Judea.
It says in verse 24, chapter 15, they were disavowed by the apostles. And then we go on to the rest of verse 1. It says, from there is the Greek word apo, Judea. As though they were coming from headquarters. That's the way the little thing wrote in the verse of Scripture. That, you know, like these guys were front people and they were going out in front of Paul and Barnabas, knowing that they were going to go back to Jerusalem, okay? Probably had told them that. And they come from Judea, taught, or mentoring would be our English word to mentor those people, and were teaching the brethren. And what they were teaching was this. Once you read it, then you will understand that what they were saying was this. Except, or if not, you be circumcised in the manner or after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved, or literally, you are not saved. Now that's the way they looked at it. And so this group was in front of Paul and Barnabas that was going to go back to Jerusalem. And they were going to go down the road that's called the coast road, because it was following the Mediterranean back south down toward Gaza. And they were out in front doing the preparation in reverse. It wasn't a welcoming, but it was one that was against becoming welcomed there, because they didn't believe what they were teaching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to eat some crow here. Chip sent me the scripture. He was beaten with rods three times, stoned once.
Okay.
And he was in a shipwreck three times. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why you always check it out. Check our word for it.
Yeah, check it out to see.
Sometimes the memory ain't so good.
Yeah. Thanks, Chip. In verse, in verse 2, it says, and we'll read verse 2. It says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So you see, these people that were down there, they had heard enough of this to know what was going to be said as they went through the coast road. And so, here again is the point that needs to be made, that Paul didn't have any wonderful time going from place to place. He had troubles everywhere he went. And basically, it was from those that didn't believe what he said. And although he would tell them when he first started writing these letters that he was an apostle of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, and that he had come to spread the good news, but they didn't believe the good news. Okay, verse 2. It says, when, therefore, and my question is, for many, many years there, when I first started learning Scripture, to understand what therefore is there for. So when you see the word therefore, you need to stop and think on that a little bit, because I kind of use it like a railroad sign, that if there was a railroad sign there and you couldn't see up one way or the other, are you just going to barrel on across that thing wondering whether something's coming or not? No. The cross arm says stop, look, and listen. Okay? On the old railroad signs. I don't mean the newer railroad signs, but back the ones that I grew up with back in the country, back in the day.
But they didn't have the power in the houses, much less power to drop an arm and raise it back up.
Absolutely, and stop traffic to keep it from getting run over. Okay, it says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. And that word dissension there, means, again, it means a standing up in the Greek. So we realized that even though some of these people, and they had told them for 2.5 years what had happened or what had been happening on their trip there and on their way back. So all these people know what has happened, except the people that they're going down the road talking to that hadn't heard them before. Okay? So, it says, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or standing up and disputation with them. And they determined, or if some of them were part of the council that had been sent away or sent out to something, or had been there, sent there to help rule the people, they could make rules themselves, probably. And they ruled that Paul and Barnabas and certain unnamed others of them should go up to Jerusalem. And that word, next word, it says unto the apostles, and unto there is the Greek word pros, P-R-O-S, pros, and the apostles and elders, and to speak to them about this question. And the question was, well, if you hadn't been circumcised, could you be saved? Could you be a child of God? If you weren't circumcised. Well, and this is, there were a lot of Gentiles there, so the Gentiles didn't have any real desire to be circumcised, and
nor any need
to be circumcised, because it wasn't their law, it wasn't their thing for them to do. And so they wanted somebody to give them some kind of ruling on what the decision was. And I think that's where the four things come from. It's been a long time since I got that far down. But
yeah, it is. Excellent.
I think it was.
Yeah, they loaded up and went and had a discussion about it.
Okay. Well, they came down the coast road. They came far down as Caesarea. And then from there on, they caught the boat and went down and got off at Jerusalem down there, because the boat trip turned into being where the 5,000 people had been fed with loaves and fishes. And the boat and Christ went up in the hills to pray or something. And when he came back, the boat had sailed off. Or sailed away. And so Christ walked on the water, and Peter saw him coming. So Peter was there, and Paul had already met Peter, so he knew Peter. But this was back to when Christ was still on the earth, and they saw Christ walking toward the boat. And he said, it's me, I'm coming. We'll read it if we got time. We ain't got time. Let's go to verse 3 and we'll quit there. And we'll pick up that maybe in the next study or the next one. And being, and it said in verse 3 there, 15, and being brought on their way by the church, Okay, so see, they considered this bunch that was going out in front of them was part of the church. They passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So as they went, the guys that were going before them and say, hey, don't listen to these guys. That didn't work on some of these people. And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined or ruled that Paul and Barnabas and certain unnamed others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders, you know, about this question. And being they therefore indeed brought on their way, and that word for brought there is in the Greek is propimpo. And that is, they brought them on their way, and that means to send with an escort. So, when they got there, these other guys that were going before them now was with them, okay? And by the church or the assembly. And it said they were passing, or they had passed through Phoenix, which is Phoenicia, showing that they had went by the coast road as far as Caesarea and Samaria, declaring the converts or the conversion of the Gentiles, full stop. And full stop gives you a little time to think of what's happening here. They had caught up with them, and now the whole group was together. And whenever they stopped in these places, and it said that they caused great joy unto all the brethren that were there, whether they be Hebrews or whether they be Gentiles. And, well, I got 4 or 5 minutes. So, let's look back, because it makes a, it gives you a note there to look back to Matthew 14:25. So, for just a little bit, turn with me back to Matthew 14. I believe I got this right. Yeah. After Christ had blessed the 5 loaves and fishes, or the rest of it, and that's what they had left. And he said, and he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. That's 19. And they eat and they were filled, and the fragments remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were 5,000 men between, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him and to the other side, where he sent the multitude away. Okay, he was going away from the multitude, but he was going to send his people to the other side. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, which I think was broke down into 3 hours each, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is this a spirit? and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he says, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind blusterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. This is Peter for you now.
I'm going to give it a whirl.
I'm going to do it if it kills me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they had come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. For those that were in the ship with the disciples, he made a believer out of them. Never had many who was. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out to all the country round about and brought to him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and many as touched were made perfectly whole. So, not only did Paul and Barnabas change the minds of the ones that were in the other cities, but whenever they went down and got in the boat where Christ went down, and they took the boat the rest of the way down to finish their trip, because I guess the road changed course a little bit. I don't know. I ain't got maps that show that kind of stuff. But that was where Jesus was. That's what he done when he was there. He fed 5,000 people with 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread and had all this stuff left over. And the multitude on that side of the river, the lake or sea, left, and there was kind of a storm coming up. Jesus just walked on the water across to the boat. He could have just disappeared and appeared there. But he walked in. And in walking in, Peter couldn't help himself. He had to say, Lord, let me try this. And then when he started sinking, Christ chided him about being of little faith. Just like he was when the cock crowed 3 times in the garden, in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. And the lady had asked him, said, wasn't you with him? He said, no.
Yeah, I know Peter came around eventually, but in his early days, he was not the picture perfect.
He was a little slow to catch all this stuff.
Yeah, he was not the picture perfect disciple.
I thought I'd catch you up on some of that stuff, and I didn't realize that Brother Allen had done that, because I didn't get to come back on Sunday morning. I'm still dealing with my kidney stones, and sometimes they don't work like I want them to work, or when they do work, they work more than I want them to work. And I don't really have control over that, so I can only say, Lord, help me till I get better.
Yeah, we'll get you a copy of it. It was really good stuff.
And so that's what I got. Now, next time we'll carry on, but I thought maybe there might be some that are listening in now that hadn't been involved much. So we did do the 7 last epistles of Paul, but we're going back and picking up some of the earlier ones and kind of going to tie all this together if possible and find out and see how many people that Paul knew of and knew by name, but there were a lot of them that he did probably that we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be in the appearance with us. Who knows?
Never know.
Maybe not at that time. Maybe they come to that knowledge before Paul passed on, or with Timothy later on down the road. So thank you for being with us tonight. And praise the Lord for being able to get to do this. And thank you for being with us to listen.